Gospel of Luke. We're reading in chapter 4, verses 1 through to verse 21. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, I want to speak about the mission of Jesus. Thank you for those who dared to move the stone. It shows you how hard it is for us to move. It shows you how hard for us to change. It's just a little example. I'm not offended, those who didn't move. But it just shows you it is difficult to change. This morning, as I said, I want to speak to you about the mission of Jesus. And I want to look at just three things out of this awesome passage. There's so many things, but I just want to narrow on a few things in this passage. The first thing I want to speak about is that Jesus refused to serve Satan. Jesus refused to serve Satan. It says, as we heard our brother Calvin read, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil." Friends, here Satan tried to get Jesus to serve him instead of God. But Jesus refused. And Satan will always try to get you to serve him instead of God, who created you and made you to serve him. Satan tried to stop Jesus from obeying his God-given mission to preach the good news and to become the suffering servant who would die on the cross for our salvation, as Isaiah 61 prophesied. He did not want him to be the good news. He did not want him to preach the good news. He did not want him to die on the cross. He wanted him to serve him instead of God. But Jesus refused. Not my will, he said, but yours be done. Satan tried to stop Jesus from obeying him, from obeying God, when he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Here Satan was saying to Jesus, "Go for the pleasure of food. Go for your needs. Go for what pleases you, not what pleases God. Your need, your desire is for food. Go for your desire instead of obeying God's word." But Jesus refused to serve Satan by choosing to obey the word of God and not his desire for food. And as I look at the television, MasterChef and all sorts of food programs, food is big, isn't it? The desire for food. You know, Satan will try to capture you some way, somehow, with these desires, and you're almost, you're licking your chops when you see those lovely foods being served and dished up. You know, and it seems so harmless. Very harmless. But food is becoming a god. Gluttony is a sin, the Bible says. But you might not be obese and big, but food is such a god. It's such a big hold on us instead of God. Jesus refused, even when he was hungry to the max, to go for his stomach. Then Satan tried to tempt Jesus to serve him instead of God by offering him the kingdoms of this world. Wow, I can't get you at food. I will give you something else. I will give you power. I will give you authority. I will give you fame. I will give you rule. I will give you influence. Don't you want that? This is what everybody wants, or most people want. And he says, "I will make you a Messiah. I can make you a Messiah. You want to be the Messiah? I'll make you my Messiah. I'll make you a powerful ruler with everything if you worship me. If you worship me, if you serve me, I will give you everything." What a temptation. But Jesus refused and obeyed the word of God, which says you shall worship God and serve Him only. Serve Him only. Worship Him only. I know that as evangelicals, we no longer, like Lebanon, we have the Catholics and Orthodox whom I love. But if you go to Lebanon like Greg did, you will see many statues. If you go into the churches, the idolatry, the worship of saints, of Mary, you might not have that prevalent for you as evangelicals. But believe me, Satan has erected other idols for us to worship. Trust me. They are more subtle. They are more deceptive. They are more cunning. And they get us more than we even know it. We bow down to them daily. Every Saturday and every Sunday, look at the football stadiums. Look at the faithful attending even before the service starts at the footy. And they bring their families with them to Sunday school at the footy. And they take an offering, and I'm telling you, I'm sure they would give their tithe and offering at the footy if they were called upon to. Faithful worshippers of a God called football. They wouldn't miss anything to see their favorite team play because they're loyal to their team. They got a cough, they got a sore stomach or a headache, I'm not missing the footy, buddy. But come to worship the Lord. Oh, mate, yeah, the back, the headache, you know, stay at home today. Friends, Satan wanted Jesus to worship him. He offered him. I will give you power, authority. What do you want today? Do you want the three G's, the gold, money, the girls or guys? Or do you want the glory, the fame? I'll give you the three G's. Worship me. And Jesus said, get lost. Get lost, get behind me, Satan. For you shall worship God only and serve Him only. Who you serve is who you worship. He refused to serve Satan. I want to call you this morning to refuse. To refuse the spirit of this world, the pleasures of this world, the deception of this world that calls us to it in a very acceptable way. That you cannot easily detect it unless you are a person who is really connected to Christ, who is really walking and praying with the Lord. You will not detect it. You'll be sucked into it, and you'll be deceived by it, and you will be what? Numbed by it, that you know He renders you ineffective for God, renders you ineffective to really worship and serve Him and make an impact on your family, on your friends and relationships, and in your church. Jesus knew there is a power here. There is a power struggle. There is a fight that's going on. That He said, if I don't win this, I'm gone. He refused. And we must be a people, like James says. He says, resist the devil. Resist him steadfastly. Resist him. Say no. And submit to God. And He will what? He will not walk. He will not run. He will flee. Because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. People say amen at the football. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to obey him instead of God by saying to him, throw yourself down and God will send His angels to care for you. Here, what is Satan doing? He's saying to Jesus, do things your way. Put God in a place where He's forced to take care of you. Where He, you know, do what you think is best, you know. Throw caution to the wind. Go for it, mate. Do it your way, like Frank Sinatra. And the world wants us to do it our way. It's all about me. It's all about me. As Whitney Houston sang a long time ago, for those who are old enough to remember, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. Remember that? Well, it's not learning to love yourself that is the greatest love of all. It is learning to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's the first and the greatest commandment, because He alone deserves that number oneness. Who died and gave Himself for me. It says, do that. Jesus refused to serve Satan by obeying what the Word of God and doing things God's way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. And friends, when you are on His way, you're on the right way. You are refusing to serve Satan. Once you do things, it's all about you. Understand, it's not about God then. But it's about serving Satan without even knowing. As a result of Jesus refusing to serve Satan, refusing to obey Satan, refusing to serve him, as a result, He defeated him in every temptation He threw at him. Here we have maybe three, but I want to tell you, He lashed at Jesus every temptation possible. It says when He finished every temptation, He departed for an opportune time, another, He will never give up. But Jesus refused to serve Him and defeated Him. Bang, 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 bang. And as a result of refusing to serve Satan, what does it say in verse 14? It says He returned in the power of the Spirit. Friends, when we refuse to serve Satan, when we refuse to say no, when we say no to his temptations, when we say no to his pleasures, when we say no to doing things his way, when we say no to sin, I want to tell you, you will return in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, in the anointing of the Spirit, in the authority of God on your life, in the presence of God, in a connection with God. That is awesome. When you say no to sin, God says yes to you. God empowers you, and you allow God to fill you in a greater way. We need to say no. We need to refuse. The second point, well, maybe just before I go on to the second point, you know, a story of a guy named Gabriel, a guy that I told you about maybe 3 years ago. He's a top CEO. He was of a Catholic background. I met his wife in a restaurant, invited her to our Bible study, and she recommitted her life to the Lord. A couple of months later, found out that her husband is leaving her. He had, instead of being a Catholic, he had converted into Islam and became a staunch, committed Muslim follower. And he became to pray 5 times, grew his beard, went to, you know, these pilgrimages, holy prayers and things, and he was ready to die for the Muslim faith. Anyway, he married this Muslim woman after divorcing this lady, Linda, who's now in our Bible study, with 2 girls, and for 5 years just lived a very strong, devout Muslim. And then after that, he divorced that second wife and lived wildly like you wouldn't believe. Anyway, as a result of getting to know him, led him to Christ, prayed with him, and began to disciple him. His life changed 180 degrees. But I want to tell you, top CEO working for, and his boss, or the owner of the company, is of a Muslim background. He's a Muslim. And he used to pray with him 5 times at work in this top corporation, multi-million. Gabriel had a choice, friends. He had to change his papers to be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian on these papers. Because he had automatically, by becoming a Muslim, automatically his children became Muslim. And when he became a Christian and God changed his life, he became an amazing disciple of Jesus, a powerhouse of testimony of God's power and change and resurrection. But he had to change his papers. But the thing is, will he change his papers? Because his boss will know, the owner will know, and everybody will know, and he will lose his job 95%. What will Gabriel do? Will he serve Satan, or will he refuse? Will he say, no, I want to keep my job? Will he say, no, I don't know, change my relationship? Oh no, what will people say? Gabriel refused. And he put the papers out, he told everybody. He refused to bow the knee to serving Satan, and God by his grace kept him there and is using him powerfully and mightily for God. Friends, we need to take stands where we refuse to bow our knees. Daniel refused, and his friends, they refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. They refused to bow down to Babylon and to be deceived by their food or by their influences or by their authorities or by their custom or by their religion. They refused. And we're no better. We're living in a worse Babylon that they were living in. But it is a more deceptive, cunning Babylon. And we need to be a people who rise up in God and say no. No to Satan and yes to the Almighty. And that brings us to our second point. Jesus not only refused to serve Satan, he chose to serve God. And it says, and his mission. Jesus chose to serve God and his mission. Verse 18 and 19. Let me read it. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus, this is what God wanted. This is what God has called him to. And this is what Jesus wants to do. Jesus chose to serve God and his mission. And he has come, part of his mission, to do the following things. Number one, to preach the good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Who are the poor? I want to tell you, the poor is the person who is in need of God, who is bankrupt financially, who is bankrupt emotionally, who is bankrupt spiritually. He is in need of God to save him, who is lost in this world, who is without Christ. Every person is poor without Christ. Every person is poor who has not yet met Christ as Lord and Savior. And Jesus, friends, came to preach the good news to the poor. Look at what he says in Revelation. Jesus says, "You say, I am rich, I've prospered, I need nothing, not knowing that you are wretched, you are pitiable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked." I didn't say that, right? Jesus did. Do you believe me? Jesus said that. I want to tell you, no matter what you look like on the outside, how rich, how beautiful, how suave, how charismatic, how uncharismatic, no matter whether you're blonde or black or tall or dark or thinny, I want to tell you, without Christ, let me be honest, without Christ, we are naked, we are poor, we are wretched. It is only when we come to Christ and follow Christ that we become rich and that we are covered by the righteousness of Christ. Friends, that is the true condition of every person, no matter what they sound like or look like. Jesus came to do that. And if this morning, no matter how long you've been in this church or you're just visiting, please let me tell you, friend, with all God's love I say to you, if you have not yet surrendered to Jesus as number one in your life, if you have not yet repented from living in sin, and made a commitment to follow Jesus, Jesus came to give you the good news. The good news is that you and I were destined for hell. That's the bad news. But the good news, even though we were destined for hell, even though we were rebels, even though we're enemies of God, Jesus came and died on a cross and paid for your sins, that if you will believe in Him, you would repent and follow Him, that you will have eternal life. This morning, no matter how long you've been in this church, if God is not real to you, if you've never felt the change of God in your life, if God is not number one, if you die today and you don't know where you're going, I want to tell you, you're in danger and you need to surrender your life to Christ and make sure that you know in your heart that you're born again and that you're now in heaven. This morning you have an opportunity. Jesus came to preach the good news that He wants to save you, that He loves you, that if you come to Him, you will have life. But if you don't, you will perish. Jesus came to preach the good news. Number two, not only the good news, He came to heal the brokenhearted, to bring comfort to those in anguish, grieving of loss of loved ones, painful experiences. Today, Jesus wants to bring healing to your brokenness. There are some of you here that are broken, and you have a broken heart. I want to tell you, it is not religion that will heal your heart, it is only Christ. And this morning, even as believers, we come to Jesus and He heals our brokenness. But because we live in a sinful world, our hearts are continually broken, and we need to continually come to Jesus to heal our brokenness. We're not just healed once and that's it. We want to come to Jesus continually and allow Him to heal. And this morning, friends, open your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't block yourself. Don't put walls up. Allow the Lord to heal you this morning. Allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to mend the broken heart. And the loss that you have, let Him comfort you this morning. I don't know what many of you have gone through, but I want to tell you, the pain that you carry this morning, you don't need to carry. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, Jesus said, I will give you rest. I'll bring healing. I'll bring forgiveness. I'll bring wholeness. I want to encourage you this morning to come to Jesus and let Him heal you. So Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. Number three, Jesus came to set the captives and oppressed free. This is what Jesus came to do. Friends, before I came to Jesus, I was captive. You were captive by sin, by Satan. We were under his dominion. We were bound by demonic powers. But when we came to Jesus, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I went forth and followed thee. Man, Jesus is the one who sets us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This morning, if you have not yet surrendered your life to God, you will never know freedom till you come to Jesus and He becomes number one. You will know the chains of demonic powers falling off you. You will know the breaking of addictions over your life, because there is power in the name of Jesus and the power of Christ Himself. I want to tell you, even as Christians, you might be bound by addictions as well. Or you might be bound by fear and anxiety, paranoia, whatever you might be bound by. I want to tell you that Jesus came to set you free. And you can be free this morning by opening yourself to the Lord, by seeking prayer from the pastor and the elders, by going to God yourself and crying out to God and asking for His Spirit to break the heavy yoke, to break the chains. Friends, we are to be a people who experience that freedom that Jesus came to give us, not just when we were sinners. Number four, Jesus came to give sight to the blind. I want to tell you that the Lord wants to give sight to the blind. If you're not a believer, the Bible says you are blind. We were all blind. It's only in coming to Christ that our eyes are open to see who He is and to see who we are, how wretched, how rebellious, how sinful, how we are destined for hell. But when we come to Christ, He opens our eyes and we see His goodness, we see His mercy, His grace. And we want to love Him and follow Him and be with Him all the days of our life. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And as Christians, as really followers of God, we can easily become blind again to the things of God. We become blinded by the temptations around us, by the things that beset us. I want to tell you, Jesus said what? Before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, remove the plank. I say to people, I don't have a speck. I've got poles in my eyes. And I need Jesus to continually remove them. I need the Word of God to continually show me how blinded I am to things of God, to the things of His Word, to the things of people. Friends, Jesus comes to give us sight. Give us sight continually to renew our minds, so that our eyes of the spiritually are seeing more and more. As we get older, we start getting glasses, don't we? Our eyes become harder to see. But in the spirit, the closer we get to God, man, we get vision, we get extra vision. We don't need a television. We get the best vision. We don't need glasses when we're walking with the Lord daily and reading His Word, because He will continually open our eyes like He did with those on the road to Emmaus. He opened their eyes as they saw the Scriptures, as they talked with Jesus. And Jesus said, number five, He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Friends, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. You might not make it out of here. While there is time, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Christ, do it. Do it in your seat by saying, God, I give you my life. God, forgive me. I turn to you and I want to follow you. I want you to be number one. No longer me being God. Friends, today is the day, the acceptable year. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know when the Lord will come. Today, while there is day, surrender to Christ. Today is the acceptable year for us as believers to follow Him and love Him with all our heart and serve Him. Today is the day, not tomorrow. Today and tomorrow, until we have breath in our life, is the acceptable year. And it is today, is the acceptable year for us to tell people about God, because we don't know when they will perish. It is the day that you tell your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your nephews, your friends, the colleagues. It is the acceptable year. Now is the time. Do it while you have time. And finally, number three, the mission of Jesus is our mission. Number one, Jesus refused to serve Satan. Number two, Jesus chose to serve God and his mission. Number three, let me tell you, the mission of Jesus is our mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission. I want to tell you, this mission is not just the mission of Jesus. He did something I can never do, which is die on a cross, and he achieved that. But the rest of it is our mission. He has commanded to us. He said in Matthew 28, he met with the disciples and the followers before he left for heaven. And he said, go into all the world, wherever you go, go and preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them all that I have taught you. And I am with you always. This is our mission, friends. This is what we live for. This is our purpose in life. This is what every one of us here, one of you here, is ought to be about. When Jesus was 12, he told his parents, don't you know I'm about my Father's business? Friends, that is the business of God. That is the mission of Jesus, is our mission. Friends, we are called to do that. We are called. And I love what Jesus said. And you know why we can do the mission of Jesus? Do you know why? Because he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, and I give it to you. Go in my name, in my authority, in my power. What did Jesus say in that Luke chapter 4? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is not just upon you if you're a follower of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. And he has anointed you, and he has filled you, and empowered you, and endued you, and given you all that you need to do the mission of Jesus. You see, doesn't just take people like me to do the mission of Jesus. Every one of us in our own spheres, and in our own walk, and in our own frailty, God will use you to do his mission. It is not for superstars. It is not for great speakers. It is for grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and children and adults and business people and average people and white collar, blue collar, pink collar, whatever collar you want. We are all called to do the mission of Jesus because the Spirit of the Lord is in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. To preach the good news. He will speak through you. Do not worry what you're going to speak, because the Spirit of God will speak through you, will give you opportunity, will lead and guide you, and you will be able to be the salt and the light of Christ. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to preach the good news, friends. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. Not only the Spirit of the Lord is in you to preach the good news, but the Spirit of the Lord is in you to also heal the brokenhearted. Friends, it's not the job of the pastor to heal the brokenhearted. It is every one of us. This is why our churches are weak. It's because we leave the job to a few people when we are all called to preach the good news. We are all called to heal the brokenhearted. People are broken and sick where you live, where you work, where your family is. You are the light of Christ, the salt of Christ. And you are anointed and you are filled with the Spirit to lay hands on people and pray for them to be healed. To heal their broken hearts by sharing the love of Christ with them. Whether it's emotionally or physically or spiritually, you and I are all called to heal the brokenhearted by the power of Christ. Friends, this is our call. We are also called to set the captives free, to pray for those who are oppressed. God, I believe it with all my heart. If every one of us really realizes this, believe me, friends, you will burst. You will be on the greatest adventure when you start realizing that yes you, insignificant you, poor little you, weak little you, or powerful you, whatever you, I want to tell you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to walk through you, to do what he says, to be his hands and feet, God will use you to set people free. God will use you to see people saved, to see people free from addictions and demonic powers. He will use you also to give sight to the blind, spiritually, emotionally, physically, you name it. We are anointed, friends, to do the mission of Jesus. And it's you and it's me. I want to call you this morning. I want to call you to take that. And you will never regret it for all eternity. Please do not live a mediocre, average, pathetic life. Live a life that will impact people for eternity. Live a life that says to Jesus, I really thank you for the blood you shed for me on the cross. Live a life that shows you love him. Live a life that shows you know there is hell coming. Live a life that you know there is a heaven coming for those who know Christ. Friends, I encourage you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. He has anointed you to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the people captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is God's word to us this morning. I pray that you will obey it with all your heart, with the grace of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me? Just take a minute right now. If God has spoken to you, my friends, then just talk to him. Surrender to him this morning. Surrender to him. Surrender to him. Tell him, Lord, I surrender. Some of you might be to surrender your life for the first time. You've never, ever given your life to Jesus. I want you just to pray a short prayer, just saying, Lord, I am sorry. I am a sinner. I surrender my life to you. I believe you are my Savior. Surrender your life this morning to the Lord. If you're a follower of Christ, surrender your life to obey his mission, to be his, to refuse to serve Satan, to choose to serve God, and to do his mission this morning. Surrender that. Make a real commitment this morning that will change eternity. How eternity will be for you and for many others that you will touch. Surrender your life this morning. Say, Lord, take me and use me the way you want. I want to live for you. I want to live for your mission. If you've never, if you don't really know, if you died tonight, you're going to heaven. If you died today, you're going to heaven. I want you to surrender your life this morning as I've asked you. I want to encourage you. It's your choice. But if you've never really prayed a prayer of commitment to God, you're not really certain of your salvation, please pray this little prayer in your heart. Pray after me. In your heart, if you want to know that you're forgiven, you are saved, this is just to help you start that journey. It doesn't save you, the prayer, but it's your commitment to trust in Christ that saves you. It's the grace of Christ that saves you. But pray this prayer with me, please. If you want to be certain, if you really would like to do that, then pray after me. Father God, thank you that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Please pray it if you mean it. I surrender my life to you this morning. Forgive me for all my sins. I commit my life to you. I believe that you are Lord and Savior. Amen. If that's you, please take that seriously and live for Jesus from today. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for who you are. I pray for those who are hurting that you would bring healing to them by your Spirit this morning. I pray for healing. I pray that you heal hearts and minds this morning. Holy Spirit, you know those who've got broken hearts this morning. I speak healing to you this morning. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. For those who are bound by fear and anxiety or addictions, then in the name of Jesus, this morning, be set free. Be free in the name of Jesus and take that with you. Be free in the authority of Jesus. I pray for all of us that this morning will be a landmark where we give ourselves to you, Lord, and to serve you and worship you alone and go about your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.